Good morning, everybody, and you're all very welcome to our Connect service this morning. And today in the Connect service, as we've been doing throughout this year, we're thinking about different people who had encounters with Jesus. And today we're thinking about an encounter Jesus had with a very powerful man, King Herod. And that's what we're going to be thinking about later in the service. I wanted to mention just a few notices for the week that is to come. Hopefully you'll have seen the notices on your way in, but I just wanted in particular to highlight a few things that don't happen every week. But I just wanted to mention in particular that on Tuesday morning, the Crafters will not be meeting this week. The funeral service of Mrs. Dorothy Funston will take place in church at 12 o'clock. Also to say on Thursday, Wednesday marks the beginning of the season of Lent. It's Ash Wednesday, and we will have our service of Holy Communion with prayers for those who are sick. But on Thursday evening at 7:30, the Mothers Union are meeting this week, and it's an open meeting. And it's a meeting, I have to say, when I read about it, it caught my attention because I'm a terrible hoarder of things. And this meeting on this Thursday is an open meeting for the Mothers Union at 7:30, or it's at 8 o'clock. Sorry, it's at 8 o'clock, and it's called Treasures in Heaven, and it says, "Where are we storing up our stuff? A Christian approach to clutter, and what we hold on to." So maybe we might get some tips. I know certainly somebody in my house would be very keen to send me to this meeting. So if you would be interested in coming along, there's somebody called Gwen Montgomery who's going to come and speak about decluttering at the Mothers Union at 8 o'clock. 7:30 is the midweek Lenten service. That's where I keep getting confused this morning. And so we do have the start of the season of Lent, our midweek Lenten service at 7:30, and that'll be followed at 8 o'clock by the Mothers Union meeting over here in the church hall. This Friday is the Women's World Day of Prayer, and that's the occasion when we normally join forces with some of the other Christian traditions in our area. And this year, the service is being hosted in St. Bernadette's. And each year, a different country write the service, and the women of the Cook Islands have written the service for this year's Women's World Day of Prayer. It's at 8 o'clock in St. Bernadette's, and all ladies of the parish are welcome. Next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, Holy Communion at 11, and Compline at 7. So just as we enter God's presence now and we try to focus our thoughts on Him, let's be still for a moment, and then we're going to pray together our opening prayer, which will be on the screen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together in worship and praise. We ask that you would bless our time together today, and that each person would be open to hearing your word and would respond in loving obedience. So we're going to stand together as we consciously enter God's presence, and we sing together, "Come, people of the risen King."
Thank you.
So as we come into God's presence together, we're conscious that there are times when we've not been the people that God would want us to be. And at every service, we take the opportunity to come before God with humble hearts and to say sorry to him and to seek a fresh start in each of our lives. So let's pray together our words of confession. God of everlasting love, God of everlasting love, we confess that we have been unfaithful to our covenant with you and with one another. We have worshipped other gods, money, power, greed, and convenience. We've served our own self-interest instead of serving only you and your people. We have not loved our neighbor as you have commanded, nor have we rightly loved ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, and bring us back into the fullness of our covenant with you and with one another, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Lord, grant to all your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And conscious of God's desire to walk with us and to hold on to us, even when we feel sometimes we've let him down, we're going to sing together our next song, He Will Hold Me Fast.
Through the fearful times.
Bible reading this morning.
When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some miracle. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him."
During the singing of our next song, the children are going to leave us for Sunday school, and we want to wish them well as they go out this morning. We're going to sing together Ancient Words. As we stay standing, let us declare our faith in God in the words of our creed. We believe
in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
And as we declare our faith in him, we're going to sing together, "There Is a Hope." Lord, we thank you for all those people who encountered you in the pages of Scripture. And we pray that as we consider your word together, you would meet with us and change our hearts and our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I mentioned at the beginning, we have been thinking over this past year about all these people who have encountered Jesus. And one of the things that we've been noticing is that even if it was a brief encounter, one of the things we've observed is that even if it was brief, Jesus always left a lasting impact or impression upon people's lives. And today we're thinking probably about one of the most powerful or influential people that Jesus met. He was a king. And unusually, Jesus had nothing to say to him. But this encounter is one that's full of impact and significance, not just for Herod, but I want to suggest for all of us who reflect upon it and what it might be saying to our own lives. And sometimes when we see powerful people in a room together, as we've seen in the news this weekend, it's not always an easy encounter when powerful people come together and different factors are at work or at play. But I want to start today by asking the question, who was Herod? Who was Herod who we're thinking about today? Well, Herod was a Jewish ruler of two regions of the Holy Land, of Galilee and Perea. And Pilate, the other ruler that we hear about, was a Roman governor of Judea and Samaria. And all of those places were provinces of the Holy Land. But Herod was also known as Herod Antipas. And we hear about him earlier in the Gospels. And we hear about him because he divorced his wife in order to marry his brother's wife, Herodias. And there was one man who'd been very public in denouncing Herod's behavior as sinful. And that was Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. And if you don't know that particular story, John the Baptist had been preaching in the desert. Thousands were flocking to hear him. And in his preaching and teaching, he had publicly rebuked King Herod for his adulterous behavior. And Herodias, Herod's wife, was particularly keen to have John the Baptist silenced. And as a solution, Herod imprisoned John the Baptist. And later, through, I guess, a rather crass show of bravado and power, Herod was tricked by Herodias' daughter into having John the Baptist beheaded. But where we see him today, Herod is in Jerusalem, and he's in Jerusalem to observe the Passover festival when Pilate is dealing with some trumped up charges against Jesus by the Jewish religious authorities. And so Jesus is on trial, and all the religious authorities have conspired, and they've been coming together because they want to get rid of Jesus. And it is patently clear to Pilate that Jesus is not guilty of these charges. But he wonders if maybe he could get Herod involved in this situation, because it's an awkward situation for him as the governor. And he wondered if Herod would be able to silence the Jewish mob who he had some influence over. And so there's this kind of conspiracy that's going on, and Herod is kind of caught up in the middle of it, not really willingly in the first instance. But whenever Pilate sends Jesus to Herod, we're told in that reading that Jim read for us that Herod was delighted that Jesus was going to him. Because for a long time, Herod had been longing to see Jesus. He's curious about Jesus. He's heard a lot about him. And he hoped that maybe when Jesus came to see Herod, Jesus might perform one of those miracles that he'd been hearing about. And so Herod, initially, he's kind of curious and he's fascinated and he's delighted to hear that Jesus is being sent to him. And then we're told that even though Herod directed many questions at him, Jesus had nothing to say to Herod, and he refused to answer his questions. And that does seem unusual and out of character for Jesus, doesn't it? That he would not speak to somebody who's asking him questions. And we might wonder to ourselves, why would Jesus not answer Herod? It might have been to Jesus' advantage to give good answers to those questions. It might have meant that he would essentially be able to escape all these corrupt charges that were being placed against him. So why wouldn't he have answered him? Well, we know that Herod had already proved himself to be a very poor listener in the trial of John the Baptist. And Jesus had nothing to add to John's words. So then we're told that Herod seems to regard Jesus as a sight to be gazed at, some sort of spectacle, who'd be able to turn on the signs and the miracles almost as if he were an entertainer. But of course, Jesus is not a sight to be stared at. Nor is Jesus an entertainer. And if the truth be told, Jesus is a king. He's a king to be submitted to and a master to be obeyed. But Herod, having rejected the messenger, John the Baptist, he found it easy to reject the Messiah, Jesus. And if we're to be blunt about it, Herod really regarded Jesus as being a bit of a joke. And so we're told that he and his soldiers ridiculed and they mocked Jesus. They toyed with him, dressing him up in a king's robe as an imitation king. Or to put it another way, Herod refused to take Jesus seriously. And of course, it would be simplistic and crude to think about the events of the past weekend in the same sort of terms. But sometimes when powerful people get in a room together and there's somebody who they think is a little bit weaker than they are, sometimes it brings out the worst of behaviors. And this is what we see where Herod and his soldiers dress Jesus up in a king's robe and they make fun of him and they mock him. And maybe the plain fact is that the vast majority of people in our world still refuse to take Jesus seriously. Because if they did take him seriously, they would pay much more attention than they do to his words and to his claims. And when we think of how Herod engaged with Jesus, the word that comes into my head is contemptuous. Herod and his soldiers thought Jesus was of no importance. And so then in this encounter, we have Herod secure in his position as a king, strong with the power of his bodyguards behind him, believing that this Galilean carpenter and itinerant preacher was of no consequence, that he didn't matter, that he was an object of fun. And the sad reality, my friends, is that there are still people who either consciously or unconsciously have come to that same conclusion, that Jesus does not matter, and that he's a factor that can well be omitted from life. And so they give him no room in their hearts or no influence in their lives. And they believe that they can easily do without him. But for the Christian, far from being of no importance, Jesus is actually the most important person in all the universe. And so as we think about Herod today, a king, a man of power and influence, it's challenging that Jesus didn't share his words with him. He'd seen already the way that Herod had treated John the Baptist. And so Jesus had come perhaps to that conclusion that he was wasting his breath, that there was no point in engaging in debate with Herod. We also see that Jesus refused to indulge Herod's desire to see miraculous things. Herod might have gazed on Jesus like a spectacle. He might have toyed with him, dressing him up in a robe to humiliate him and make him the butt of the soldiers' cruelty and disdain. And they might have had great fun when they were doing that. But the reality was that something much more significant was being played out in this particular encounter. And ultimately, we see two weak men, Herod and Pilate, desperate to cling to their own semblance of power, but ultimately selling their soul. They don't have the moral fiber or the character to stand up against the mob and to do what is right and to act on their convictions that Jesus has done nothing wrong. And we might be sitting here this morning and wondering, well, what does all of this say to us? What relevance does it have to our lives? Well, I think it reminds us of how even religious people can be blinded and corrupted in the way that they initially hatched up this plot to try Jesus unjustly. That's what happened between the scribes and the Pharisees and those who conspired together to make up these charges against Jesus so that he would be put on trial. We also see from this encounter the way people refuse to take Jesus seriously and they ignore his significance for their lives. And the result is that almost without realizing it, they've sidelined him to a place of irrelevance, and they've opted to struggle through life without him. That's a pretty serious and dispiriting outcome, I would suggest, from this particular encounter. But my prayer is that we will all observe and learn and even yearn to give Jesus his rightful place as King of our lives. Let's just pause for a moment to pray. Lord Jesus, we are sorry that we too at times have failed to recognize who you are and to take you seriously in our own lives. So we repent of our short-sightedness and we surrender our lives afresh to your direction. We invite you to come in and to fill us with your presence and your hope and your joy. Help us to follow you and to live for you all our days. And we ask it in your precious name. Amen. So we're going to make our response as we sing together our next song, 10,000 Reasons.
Lord of my soul. Lord Jesus Christ, you are our rescuer and our redeemer. You are hope giver and way maker. And you are our truth teller, the one who knows us better than we know ourselves. You search our hearts and minds. You see us as we really are. You see behind the masks we wear for the world. Forgive us, Lord, that so often we try to run away from the truth you present to us. We find it difficult to be honest with you, with ourselves, with others, closing our ears to truths we would rather not hear. But here, in this place, in the silence, you confront us again with the reality of our true selves. You remind us, Lord, that the truth will set us free, and that it is only through being truthful to ourselves and to you that we can discover the cleansing, renewing love that will make us the people you want us to be. So this morning, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would strengthen us to face the truth about ourselves, and that you would forgive all that is insincere, false, or dishonest in our lives. Set us free from the cowardice that dare not face new truth, from the laziness that is content with half-truth, from the arrogance that thinks it knows all truth. Through your Spirit, teach us to know the truth. May we receive it with joy, speak it in love, live it by faith, and so find our true freedom in you. In your name we pray. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you are our rescuer and our redeemer. You are way maker and truth teller. And this morning we are very conscious that we now live in a chaotic world in which truth and factuality have been abandoned in favour of fake news and spin and entertainment. A world in which moral principles have been discarded in favour of selfish pragmatism. A world in which loyalty, integrity and right ethical behaviour have been pushed aside by greed and the lust for power. Forgive us, we pray, for too easily accommodating ourselves to this world's way of thinking. Forgive us for those times when we have failed to speak up for the right, and when, through our silence, we have colluded in the wrong. Save each of us as your followers, Lord Jesus, from taking the enticing path of compromise, the easy path of capitulation, the cowardly path of opting out of difficult decisions. Remind us, Jesus, that just as you were tempted by Satan in the wilderness and confronted by Herod's contempt and ridicule, so there will be difficult times in each of our lives. Times when we simply have to stand up for what we know is true and right, despite enormous pressure to compromise. Times when we have to stand firm against popular opinion, even when it risks alienating friends or making our lives less comfortable. Lord Jesus, encourage each of us to so build our life on the truth that is in you, that when those difficult times come, we will have the strength to be true to ourselves, true to you, and be able to speak the truth and nothing but the truth. In your name we ask it. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you are our rescuer and our redeemer. You are hope giver and way maker. And you are our truth teller. Hear our prayer this morning for those who need to experience again the truth of your kindness and compassion and the reality of your healing and assurance. We bring to your loving arms those who are weary and burdened, those hurting in body, mind, or spirit. We bring to you the sick, all who are struggling to recover from illness or accidents, and the bereaved. We think especially of the family and friends of Dorothy Funston. We bring to you all who are troubled, those who feel trapped by old mistakes and past failures. We bring to you, Lord Jesus, all who are in distress this morning, and ask that your Holy Spirit would fill their minds with truth, their hearts with love, their souls with power, and their lives with grace. May they and we gain strength from the knowledge that we are all part of the one body, and that when one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. In your name we ask it. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you are our rescuer and our redeemer. You are hope giver and way maker, and you are our truth teller. As we go out into the world this week, we pray that you would guard our lips and set a watch upon our tongues. Free us from the clutter of unnecessary words, the clamour of angry words, the skill of cynical words. Teach us when to be silent, and when silence would mean cowardice or unkindness. Empower us, we pray, to speak the truth in love. But may our words be always gracious and well chosen, that we may never speak the cruel word that is untrue, or being true is not the whole truth, or being wholly true is merciless. In your name we ask it. Amen. And finally, let us sum up all our prayers in the words Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever.
We're going to stand together now to sing the hymn of our offering, the song Ancient of Days.
Power of the glory,
Let's stay standing as we pray our prayer, as we go out into the world and prepare to live in God's light in the week that is to come. We pray together. We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives as well as our worship be always pleasing in your sight. For the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And let's sing that song, He's Our Rescuer.
He's our rescuer. He's our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore. Oh, how sweet the sound. Oh, how grace abounds. We'll praise the Lord, our rescuer. There is good news for the captive. Good news for the shame.
Final blessing, just a couple of things that I forgot to mention at the beginning. On Tuesday evening, this coming week at 7:30 in Knockbreda Parish, we've been invited to participate. If anybody is free and would like to, there's an event that's exploring the topic of grief through music and poetry, and it's in Knockbreda Parish Halls at 7:30 when there's a musician and songwriter and poet coming to share a reflection on grief. And if that would be helpful to anybody, that's at 7:30 on Tuesday. After Our service finishes today. If anybody is free to help us just to put some chairs away, that would be really helpful. And we will get all the various things ready for toddlers for tomorrow morning. And also to say that at the end of this month, if people are looking for a night out, we're having a special concert in the church where the police choir are going to be providing an evening's entertainment on Friday, the 27th of March.
28th.
Friday the 28th. After our blessing today, the musicians are going to sing a response after our blessing. People are invited to sit for that at that point. And again, if you know the words, do please feel free to join them. But let's just bow our heads for God's blessing. May the light of Jesus fill your lives, that your lives may be a light to the world. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.